I thought we would have a little bit of a conversation today on the second day of Yom Tov, and I want to begin by asking a question. At your Seders, what struck you most poignantly this year? What struck you? Either something that was inspiring, something that you found very challenging, conversation that you had around the table or tables. Dot? Yeah, so just the notion of being together and knowing that there are a lot of people that are not together, specifically 135 hostages that are still in Hamas's or other terror groups or hands in Gaza. What else? Perry? So it may have been the first time some of us have talked about anti-Semitism at the Seder. Others? Dan? Yeah, so Dayenu felt incomplete, right? Felt incomplete and off-key. Gary? Wow. All right, so Gary Ellman is sharing, I'm repeating this for people that might not have heard you both in the room and those that are joining us on the live stream, that Gary Ellman was sharing that he was surprised that there was someone at a Seder who understood that anti-Semitism was happening, so forth, but didn't realize that the war, the Hamas Israel war, is still going on, and that was somewhat shocking. Reina? Right, so Reina is sharing that at one of her seders, the host read something that has been reading for many, many years, and though the names of what of the countries of that may have changed, the content, the essential ideas are the same, right? Or as our mothers used to say to us, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Right, I'm going to go to this side if there's anybody. Eddie? So we're supposed to feel joyous and celebrate our redemption from Egypt, and it was hard to feel that this year. And that's the second question I want to ask today, because that's something that I've been struggling with. I know Rabbi Feuerbatzin talked about it through Shvoch HaMatcha yesterday. Part of the celebration at this holiday is singing. Hallel is not only recited every day of the holiday, but it's essential to the Haggadah. We recite it before Shulchan Aruch, before the meal, and we recite parts of it after Shulchan Aruch. And the meal itself, I think, plays into this notion of happiness and fulfillment, right? V'achalta v'savata uveirachta is the mitzvah for Birkat HaMazon, or is the source for Birkat HaMazon, that you shall eat, you shall be satisfied, and then you shall bless. And so we surround the meal, that which makes us feel full and fulfilled, with song. And so the question is, how can we praise God? How can we sing when our people are captives? How can we sing at a moment such as this? What do you think? How do you reconcile? How do you reconcile this? Yes.
Thank you.
So Rina, which is a name that has to do with singing in joy, is sharing that our redemption didn't just happen. God didn't just act without our participation and encounter. And every step along the way, and she pointed out several examples, every step along the way, we had to participate in it. And we're singing at the same time that we're experiencing challenge and difficulty, and that there's a connection between that. Perhaps one more thought, Rabbi? So Rabbi Feyer-Botzen shared that at her Seder, she had both Rob Sunderland, who we honored with an Aliyah today, and noted that he's completing Kaddish for his mother, and also a baby that was born in the last year. Who was at the Seder last year, but still in the oven. and it's just a reminder, as we Jews know and we talk about frequently, that we live, I call it the nexus of simcha and tsar, right? We live at this juncture of happiness and sadness, and yet we sing, right? Because there's something about music, there's something about singing that expresses an essential element of our soul. We sing when we're sad, we sing when we're happy, and we sing even in those difficult times in order to provide us with a sense of hope for the future. We sing. In the Hadar Pesach supplement, which we still have several copies if people want them, it'd be good for next year too. It's called Alfdut Nafshenu, Internal Redemption. There's an article that's written by Joey Wiesenberg, who was here, I think, 6 years ago before I came. He's one of the leaders of the Rising Song Institute from Hadar in New York. And he writes about the obligation to sing after miracles. And in this article, he brings a midrash that lists the top 10 songs from the Tanakh, as described in the Mechilta. The top 10 songs from the Tanakh. Now, you can probably, off the top of your head, name at least several of them, right? The most common one, most famous one that comes to mind would be the Song of the Sea, Az Yashir, because we sing it every day. It's part of our everyday prayer. But did you know that according to the Mechilta, there was a song that was sung in Egypt before the Israelites went out? And the Mechilta says the first song of the top 10 songs of the Jewish people was sung in Egypt, as it says, quoting Isaiah, "You will have a song on a night a feast is made holy," referring to the night of the Korban Pesach, a night on which a feast is made holy. He notes, as we know, that the beginning of Hallel, the Haggadah, obligates us to sing after recounting the story of the miracles. We begin, Lefichach anachnu chayavim lehodot, lehallel, leshabech, lefa'er, lerumem, lehader, levarech, lehallel, kales. That we are obligated to thank, to praise, to laud, to glorify, exalt, lavish, bless, raise high, and celebrate the one who made all of these miracles for our ancestors and for us. And he brings also how important it is to sing after miracles occur. He brings also a midrash about the king Chezkiah, who neglected to sing, and the Midrash kind of berates him for that. and points out that the earth, meaning the world, tries to rescue Chizkiyah, his chance of becoming the Messiah, by singing for him, but it didn't work because he needed to sing himself. We all must sing, says Joey. We all must sing the songs of our own miracles. And what's fascinating as well about Hallel is that if you look closely at Hallel, it also, in the very text itself, points out this tension between being still caught in a place of sadness and challenge and of difficulty, and yet we sing. The most prominent example of that is Min HaMetzar Karatiya, right? From the Metzar, from the narrow place, right? The Shoresh of Mitzrayim, which is the narrow place. It gets its name because the Nile River is the narrow river that provides for all of life within Egypt. So Min HaMetzar Karatiya, from the narrow place, we cry out to God. And it's a reminder that we can pray from that narrow place and hope that soon God will answer, as the psalmist continues, with abundance. In our tradition, the concept of redemption is multifaceted and deeply rooted. Abraham Joshua Heschel talked about living with a sense of divine discontent, recognizing the gap between the world as it is and the world as we aspire it to be. In his view, this tension should motivate us as individuals towards the work of repairing the world and hasten the coming of the Messianic, of Mashiach, of that era. Our perspective on the reality of an incomplete redemption is characterized, therefore, by both hope and responsibility. While acknowledging the present imperfections of the world, we Jews are called to actively participate in the ongoing process of redemption through righteous deeds and a commitment to justice and to compassion. Just to be a blessing, just to live, is holy, says Heschel. And yet being alive and living is no excuse for not doing something that is meaningful, for not making a difference, and for not aspiring to a higher calling. And maybe that's how we can reconcile singing at moments of despair. We know at this Pesach, this year, our redemption is incomplete because there remains 100 plus people, many of whom we already know are probably gone, many of whom we hope and pray are still alive, whose redemption is incomplete. And so we sing of both the promise of future redemption, but also as an expression of our souls and the discontent, as Heschel says, that we have at this time. Perhaps the song that is most apt to sing at this moment is Ani Ma'amin, right? That though Mashiach may tarry, we still believe that Mashiach may come, and we hope and pray for that to happen. And the Talmud has a wonderful story with which we'll close and then sing Ani Ma'amin together. The story is that a rabbi was working his garden, and another rabbi comes and says, Mashiach's here, Mashiach's here, let's run immediately to the town square and to meet Mashiach, to greet Mashiach, because redemption is at hand. And the rabbi said to his colleague, says, first, I'm going to finish planting my garden, and then I'm going to go meet Mashiach. The idea, I think, is really important. Our obligation is to do the work for redemption here. And if that redemption comes, Mashiach will still be there when we finish tilling our garden. I think that's what it means, ani ma'amin. Mashiach might tarry, but I still believe, and I'll still do the work for bringing that about. Cantor, will you lead us?